The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
That's the pain method for you right here on Radio Memphis. You're tuning into Radio Memphis Around the World with me, D, when I'm down. And it's rare that I am down. But I tell you what, for those of you that may be in Lyndhurst, New York tonight, you have a chance to get on up because I tell you what, they're playing live. That's right. You guys, you have an opportunity. If you head on down to the Village Pub, they're going to have special guests with them, Misery Kills, along with Damn Your Eyes. That's going to be 8 o'clock tonight, Eastern Standard Time. So you guys get out there and support the pain method. And of course, you know, you need to keep up with that band because they have a lot of crazy cool things that are coming down the pike. They're going to be doing some crazy cool announcements. They're going to be talking about some things over the course of time. I can't tell you any more than that, but what you need to do is you need to really pay attention because that's going to be a band, you know, that's been able to, they've been able to really, really marry heavy metal and hard rock together in such a fantastic, cool union that everybody is going to across the board is going to be so in love with what they've got going on. And I tell you, obviously you guys, if you kept up with me, you guys also know that on Memphis Metal Mondays on Monday nights, we get to jam out and rock out really hard. And I've got to catch up with the guys in the Pain Method. And of course, Rob Machete, you know, and Rob Ewells. And Rob Ewells specifically, you know, was one of the last ones I got to speak with. And one of the things, you guys, I mean, you guys know me well enough to know that I have just a big thing about drums. I love, 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 love me some drums. And of course, we got into a conversation, you know, Mr. Ewells and I did, you know, about, you know, his company that he actually works with. And, you know, and as it turns out, you know, the company has custom drums that were made for him specifically by 1710 Percussion. And more that I learned about the company and more that I learned about the individual that was behind the company, the more that I fell in love with the whole idea because there's such a huge independent spirit, you know, behind how that all came about. And there's such cool stories. And then I wound up catching up with the founder, the creator and the owner, Michael, you know, Kaimona. And, you know, the more I got to know him, the more I was like, okay, that's it. You know, this is such a cool conversation. I decided we're going to share this live on air because I want you guys to know who he is and what he's got and what he's doing. And in fact, what's even cooler is that I happen to have Michael on the phone right now with me from 1710 Percussion. How are you doing, Michael? Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, sweetie, how are you?
Well, I'm just listening to Radio Memphis, hanging out.
Oh, nice. I'm glad that you're actually hanging out with me and enjoying yourself.
Good.
Good deal. Thank you so much for stopping down your world. I know that you are a busy, busy, busy man after talking with you several times.
There's a lot going on, but that's okay.
No, that's fantastic. That means that you're doing everything right and you've got everything going for you. So that's a good thing. I wanted to stop down and I wanted, as I was telling everybody that's tuned in, I wanted to kind of share, you know, some of your story and share the stuff with 1710 Percussion. And I'll be honest, you know, and a big shout out and a big thank you again to Rob Ewells, you know, who's one of your featured drummers, you know, and one of your custom drum artists. I want to thank him for introducing us to each other. One of the things that I absolutely, that actually sealed the deal for me was when he told me about what you and your guys do when you get ready to sit down and actually start making the drum kit for, you know, the artists that you're working with. And one of the requests that you make is that you tell them to send you a couple of songs or a playlist of music that they love, that embodies who they are, or what describes them, and that you jam out to that music while you're making their drum kit.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Wow.
Yeah, and Rob kind of took it to the next level, for sure. I mean, you know, we spent a lot of time talking to the drummer and getting a feel for, you know, what kind of vibe they're going for, what kind of music they're into, and we're, you know, it's cheesy, but we think if we can kind of channel some of that into what we're doing, it'll all kind of come out in the final product. And so I was talking to Rob about that, and he said, you know, that's pretty awesome. I'm going to send you a mixtape.
Oh, nice.
So that's great. I haven't got a mixtape sent to me since I was about 13, so this would be pretty interesting, right? And
I love it.
Sent me some stuff, and everything had a special meaning to him, and we just blasted out here in the shop, and hopefully we brought a little bit of that to the final product, like I said.
Are you kidding? Okay, and for those of you that just heard the song, okay, that was some of your work in effect, you know, from 1710 Percussion. Sounds fantastic. Are you kidding?
Thank you.
Absolutely. And, you know, and so, of course, you know, and I'm pretty sure the guys, you know, have told you a little bit about me. And one of the things when I latch on to something and I actually really, really, you know, fall in love with something, I wind up stalking and I wind up trying to find out more about the, you know, about the company and stuff. And you, Michael, you have a very, very cool thing about you. And you know, this was you know, you have a story that is pretty amazing to me. You came from a family, you know, that were predominantly, you know, all, you know, brother and sister, all drummers, you know, and
right,
and you grew up and I did find out why you named the company what you named it. And I just found, and I did not know this until like last night when I was looking through some stuff just so I can get ready for today. And I thought, okay. Yeah, and I thought, okay, you named it after, you know, the house number of the street that you guys grew up on, and
right,
which was pretty much the basis, you know, for your whole company, for the drum company anyway. And
yeah,
and the more I got into it, and it was like, golly, man, I need to get to know more about you. And, you know, what made you decide that, you know, this was what you were going to do? What made you decide that you were going to create drums, you know, and that you were going to custom build them? What was the deciding factor that made you want to do this?
I mean, I definitely think I backed into the company. You know, I've always been a drummer and I've always played the drums, and like you said, my family were all musicians, not professional, you know, different stages, but we always had drums around, so I always played the drums. And you know, there was a point in my life when I traveled a lot and I just wasn't able to play, and so I finally had some downtime and I got back into just doing some refinishing of drums.
Oh wow, okay.
And it was at that point when I just said, I think it would be really cool if I could just build my own drums. If I could just build my own drum set. And I wasn't able really to get the sounds that I wanted to, and I was at a point where I said, let me just give it a shot.
Okay.
So once I figured it out, which wasn't exactly overnight, it took about a year, I'd say. And then once I figured out how to do it and started posting some pictures of it, a friend of mine, a guy named Steve Flurry, said, hey, I really like that snare drum. I'll buy it from you.
Oh, wow. Right off the bat.
I did not expect that, but okay. So I sold him the snare drum, and then I built another one, and one of my son's friends said, hey, I'll buy it off you. And it was really at that point, I said, this could be a really fun hobby, and I could probably make a couple bucks off of it maybe. So
okay,
I said, let's do it. And I set up the company immediately.
And see, that's crazy.
It
go ahead.
It was actually a pretty quick success. I was pretty surprised.
Well, yeah, I mean, and it was one of those things where you made this, and for those of you that are tuned in, you know, hanging out with Michael, you know, Kimona, you know, 1710 Percussion, you said you make this stuff and you're like, okay, nobody's really gonna buy this.
No, absolutely not.
Well, okay. I mean, so so it wasn't like you were trying to, it wasn't like you were even trying to make a company and sell drums. You were just trying to see if anybody liked it. Was that what I'm getting?
I didn't even care if anybody liked it. I just wanted to have a cool drum set. I mean, that was really it. And then once I figured out that, wow, this is actually pretty cool and people do like it, then I thought maybe I would just do it as a side project.
Okay.
And then the more and more it grew, that's when I decided that, okay, there's some quality to it, and the drum sounded pretty good. And then I slowly but surely started to work with some local musicians, and then that built my confidence up, and then at that point,
I got you.
Took off.
I got you.
And really never turned back.
I got you. And of course, you know, based out of Maryland, thing for you, you know, when you start reaching out to the local, you know, music community and stuff, I mean, so how does this work for you? I mean, you go out to the local communities, you go out to these local drummers and you're like, hey, what, you know, what do you want? And let me see if I can make it. Is this how this works?
Yeah, I think in Maryland I really thought through a little bit of a plan. I did some homework on who some of the hot local bands were. And, you know, for somebody at my level of drum making, we're looking for bands just like the Pain Method, right? That mm-hmm. are indie, they've got a little bit of momentum,
mm-hmm.
they haven't gone viral or national yet at a large stage, because a lot of those musicians get locked up with, you know, with endorsement deals.
Sure.
So I just did some homework in the local Maryland scene, and I found a management company called One Coast Entertainment that managed a lot of the local bands in the area.
Okay.
And decided that if I could start working with a couple of those drummers, that would really get me, you know, the chops that I needed and get me exposed. And so I reached out to this drummer named Alex Watts, who plays in this band called Bond and Bentley.
Right, right.
Maryland area. And he was really the first local drummer to pick us up. And he just was a big fan. And he, you know, he did what you hope your first adopters do. He really hyped us up, and he introduced me to a lot of the other drummers. And honestly, I don't know that I've ever really reached out to a drummer and said, hey, I want to work with you. I think for the most part, people just find us.
They find you. They absolutely
find
you.
And, yeah. And well, I tell them, yeah, I'd love to work with you. It could be a long time until I get your drums done if you're cool with just hanging out and waiting.
Well, the funny thing with you... The funny thing with you, though, is that, you know, when you and I got to spend some time on the phone, you know, you do have a set of parameters, and you kind of have a checklist. And of course, that little bit what you just went over as far as, you know, what the checklist is on who it is that you're willing to work with. You know, there's very specific individuals that you will sit down with and go, okay, I'm going to build this custom drum. And one of the things that I do appreciate is that you take this to the total service level, you know, quality, you know, I'm part of your drum set, man. This is, you know, this is serious, you know, and you're very serious, you know, about what it is that you do.
Well, I mean, think about it. Everything we do is handmade. I mean, I'm putting my name out there.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that it's as good as it can. And I can tell you that, like, just this last year was a good example of it, where things got a little overwhelming. I thought maybe I'd take a couple shortcuts, and I sacrificed quality on a drum or two here and there. And then it made me really stop and think, like, hey, you better step it up a little bit, because as this company is starting to expand, this is still really, you know, I'm hand signing every drum and I'm putting my name on it. And so I better go all in. Otherwise, just stop, because it's not worth it. So if you're going to dedicate yourself to it, you might as well do it right.
You know,
at the end of the day, we've made some really cool friends, and that's really what we're trying to do. All the drummers that we work with, we end up being just one big group of friends, and that's what's really cool about it.
That's perfect. And, you know, Michael, you know what's funny is that, so you made this remark just a minute ago about you wanted to work with, you know, people like the Pain Method, you know, that were indie artists and stuff, you know, that were getting just, you know, roaring buzz. They're getting ready to kind of cross, you know, cross over the threshold and stuff before they get, you know, snatched up by everybody, you know, in the free world. But then something really cool happens to your company, and, you know, Parliament Funkadelic shows up.
Yeah, that's not something you expect, right? And
no.
We were maybe only a year into it. And, I run into the drummer for P-Funk. His name is Ben Conner. He goes by Benzel Baltimore. And just a phenomenal drummer. And he had just been featured in Modern Drummer as, like, an up-and-coming drummer. And I ran into him through a mutual friend, and we spent some time together. And he was, even though, you know, P-Funk is Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and at that level, I think maybe a lot of the big national or international companies thought maybe P-Funk was, you know, was over.
Okay.
And maybe they slept on Ben a little bit.
And were they wrong?
From what I thought, they were ready to, you know, restart their career.
Yep.
George Clinton was about to do what George Clinton does.
Yep.
And so Ben and I formed a quick partnership, and he's been amazing since that day. And, you know, the gamble worked, and George and his band is playing, you know, 200 shows a year and major festivals and worldwide and television spots. And they just did NPR, Tiny Desk, and a bunch of other stuff. And
wow. Wow.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
And your world blows up over that one. Okay. Now, for you, and, you know, for 1710, you wind up, and this is another thing that I totally appreciate, you know, and so, you know, because you and I have been able to kind of talk a little bit about, you know, what we do at Radio Memphis, and, you know, and we support the unsigned and indies as well, up to, like, the very top tier, you know, before you go major, you know, and which is actually a pretty big, you know, pretty big list. And one of the things that we like to do, and I found this in you, is that you have quite the community that you have built around, you know, around, you know, your company and drums. And, you know, and first thing you did was, you know, you're reaching out to your local drummers and stuff, and, you know, and trying to, you know, fine tune what it is that you were doing. You work with several different, you know, different people, you know, that may bring some type of trade or some type of talent or some type of whatever vibe or something, you know, to what you've got going on. You did this all on your own. You did this out of your home, you know, to get started, you know, and you wound up, you know, not only doing this, but you wound up getting, you know, a lot of attention. You know, Drum Magazine comes in, the readers polls are calling you, you know, some of the top drum companies, you know, you're being, you know, nominated for custom drum companies and things like that. What is the attitude when you start getting all of this attention and you see all these people that are really, really focused on what it is you do as far as, you know, with this company and with this product? I mean, what's going through your head?
Yeah, it's definitely pretty humbling. And when that first really started to happen, I kind of thought it was a joke.
I'm not
going to lie. You know, Drum Magazine calls and says, hey, congratulations, you just got voted one of these top companies. And I thought it was kind of a joke. And eventually, what I realized is that I think that what we're doing is pretty popular across the country right now. Just the whole concept of having a custom company.
Mm-hmm.
You know, starting in your garage and that, mm-hmm. that whole concept,
mm-hmm.
I think is popular. And the support that we've gotten from people, like you said, the partnerships and the community that we've built, I think everybody is supportive and they want to see us succeed. And
yep.
that's really what's humbling about it.
Yeah.
So
perfect.
What we decided to do is like, let's just help one another. So we've partnered with designers and artists that are all good friends of mine that have helped us do some of the graphic designs on the drums. And it's just been a way for us to support one another, and you need that because it is not easy. So you got to have all the support that you can get.
Well, yeah,
it's pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, because you wind up, and what's really cool, you know, Michael, is that you wind up building a team. You know, you built a fantastic team of individuals, you know, that have helped you and helped you build and stuff like that. You know, you've got people that are, you know, that are pretty much, you know, in charge of, you know, doing stuff for, you know, artist relations. You've got somebody that's, you know, in charge of, you know, doing stuff for, you know, marketing and websites and, you know, and things like that. And these, you know, everybody's in the community. Everybody's like a drummer at some, you know, at some point. Point in the game, and they happen to know how to do websites, or they know how to do marketing, or they know a little bit about the A&R stuff. And you guys just wind up, you know, throwing all your marbles in the middle of the table and go, okay, we're gonna do this. You know,
well, the good thing about hiring drummers is I can pay them in drums.
Perfect.
And you know, so that works well.
Perfect.
And, but no, you're right. Like Larry Schotter, he's the guy that's our marketing director. He's one of our sponsored drummers. I met him first as a drummer that used my drums. Same thing with Steve Fleury, who's running point on some of our sales. He's one of our drummers first. So
wow.
I think that's all. It's important because if they don't really understand what we're doing, then they're not going to be a good representative of us. So
no.
We've all been, it's a pretty cool team.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, so you get all these crazy cool people together, and you know, you start you know, kicking ass and taking names, and you know, and again, your product is wonderful, you know, and everybody know, I mean, I love drums. You know, for the longest time I wanted, like, you know, the Tama Star Classic Bubingas, you know, Purple Sparkle, just so you know. Just throwing it out there. I have a set that actually, you know, my best friend, he keeps it at his house. It's his set, but it's mine because I tell him that he's not allowed to get rid of it. And it's like a Sonar German classic, you know, that they no longer make, you know, from, you know, that I, you know, toy around with when I get an opportunity to. And I'm always, you know, if somebody's making some stuff and making custom stuff, I'm like, oh my God, what are you using? What's the wood? What's your choice? So when you sit down and, you know, somebody sits with you and they go, okay, you know, I need a set. What's the first thing you're going to ask them? What's the first thing you're going to do?
I spend more time with the drummers talking about what type of sound, what type of feel they want. I don't really get into what do you want to look like. That's the last little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We spend a lot of time just talking about the type of sound that they're trying to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's important to note that I really have no woodworking experience, right? So
that's crazy.
Probably like legit questions I'm supposed to be asking, but I just don't know what they are.
But you're making such a fantastic set. That's what's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, I had a shot class in, like, I don't know, 10th grade.
Oh, my God, Michael.
Mikey Ford is listening because I told him I'd give him a shout-out because my only woodworking experience.
I was getting ready to cut his finger off. I was trying to figure out how to work it, work, you know, work him in and stuff like that. So, Michael Acord, and it was like, all right.
That was it. That was all my experience was, just watching somebody bleed out in high school. But we spent some more time just trying to get a feel for what type of sound that they want. And and over time, you definitely get a feel for what drums, you know, what wood sounds, you know, certain ways, right?
Okay.
So certain woods bright, snappy, certain woods got a little chunkier, warm sound to it.
I got you.
As people start to talk about, I want, you know, some really bright, snappy, crack pop snare.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there's three or four types of wood that I'd want to use to start that discussion.
You know, that makes perfect sense now when you ask, see, you're sneaky. That makes perfect sense when you're asking somebody for some music or stuff they like to listen to.
Right.
That makes perfect sense.
That's why I asked them that, right? Because I don't really care about the band that they're in right now. I know that sounds bad.
No, it doesn't.
But they, you know, it's really more about the drummer, like the band. You know, you want this drum set to stay with the drummer forever, and unfortunately people rotate around bands and they might not be with the same group forever. So if you talk about what kind of music you like, and you know, and they start listing off some drummers and they all have the same style, then I know what's in their mind.
I see.
Try to, as best as possible, replicate that. So
I see. See, that makes perfect sense.
You figured it out.
I was, you know, look, I dig a little, but you know, okay, that's perfect. And I like that you think like that, you know, because ultimately, you know, this is you have this thing about, it's like people who are songwriters and, you know, their songs that they write are their children and that kind of stuff. I mean, this, you know, these drum kits are your kids, you know, and that's ultimately how you put that out there. So if I were to sit down with you, you know, what's your description? If you sit down with you, what would you tell you?
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I always love. Well, it's interesting because I was able to build that set for myself.
Uh-huh.
So I love the big low and loose, the kind of booming, early 70s.
Yep.
You know, rock sounds. You know, the Bonhams and that kind of open sound, bigger drums. You know, with really tight resonant heads on everything, and so that was the sound that I always like. I like the sound of metal snares, so they just have that, you know, that raspy sound to them. So that's the sound I always try to replicate.
Wow!
And I feel like every set I've built for myself ends up sounding exactly like that.
And because that's you, and that's your signature mark, and that's what you think. See, I'm down. I'm not telling people like the exact number, but we're around the same age.
Okay.
And so when you talk about certain music, I'm like, yep, I'm there.
I like to say I'm deceivingly old. I try to keep the exact number.
I'm about to say that. Perfect. Now, one of the things, and those of you that are hanging out with us, you know, we're on Radio Memphis around the world right here at radio-memphis.com. We're having a lot of fun talking to Michael Kimona from 1710 Percussion. One of the things also, too, that is very awesome is that when you built the community that you built around, you know, your company, and you were building such fantastic equipment and such, you know, such a quality product, one of the important things, and this was first forward, was that you wanted to, you know, you wanted to build it on the idea of also, you know, philanthropy, and you wanted to be able to give back, and you wanted to be able to do stuff with your company, with your drums and with music.
Yeah, exactly. And it's something that's important to us. I didn't realize how important it would be, but you know, you get a lot of folks reaching out to you asking to sponsor festivals and do backlines and that type of stuff. And
sure.
I always thought that I could charge a couple $100 to rent a drum set, but if it was for an event that I really cared about, it was worth us just donating our time and donating our resources. And then from a, I would rather not invest money in print marketing and that type of stuff when I could donate a drum to some charity and let them auction it off and raise some money for a good cause.
Yep,
you know,
yep.
that, So we just started dabbling in some fundraising and charity events that way. We got pretty active in raising money for a friend of mine who hopefully is listening. His name is John Marshall. He's my first guitarist when I was a kid who's been battling ALS. And so we hoped that we could raise some money to help him personally and help find some, you know, advance some research in that,
right,
in that field. And it just slowly but surely became, I think, a core part of what we care about.
Yes.
To the point where I think that's where I spend the majority of my time right now.
Okay.
I mean, it's worth it from my perspective.
Absolutely. Well, you wound up, I mean, you know, you took it, you know, steps further, and I love it. Look, sweetheart, you're being so humble. I understand that's who you are, you know, but you jump in, and, you know, we're talking, not only are you helping sponsor festivals, not only are you helping, you know, with manpower, and, you know, I mean, hell, you're using your kids, you know, if you can, like your actual born kids, you know, to make them work, you know, some events, you know, and things like that. But you wind up also, you know, even taking it steps further, you know, and creating foundations and creating, you know, things, you know, in order to give back. There's one specific that's very special, you know, and I want you to tell me more about. And it was more along the lines of the Warrior Foundation that, you know, you're recently have gotten into.
Yeah, we started in July of last year. I started a foundation with a couple close friends of mine, some of which are partners in 1710, and some are just lifelong friends, called the Warrior Music Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And we give music lessons and music therapy of veterans and military that are suffering from post-traumatic stress,
sure,
which is a pretty significant problem right now.
Sure.
And the whole point behind that is that when I said earlier that I spent some time traveling, I wasn't able to play the drums. Well, you know, I was traveling because I was on active duty in the military, and I've really spent 20 years of my life supporting that community.
Absolutely. And thank you for your service.
So I felt like there was an opportunity to really merge the two parts of my life, the music part of my life and the military part of my life.
And that is fantastic.
Once the light clicked, you know, once the light turned on, and we realized that we could do some pretty cool stuff with music, then
yes,
a couple months to get the idea rolling, and now we're up and running. And again, it's a great community. We've got a bunch of great partners, people who are dedicated to helping the problem.
That is fantastic. Thank you for your service, by the way.
Appreciate it.
You have an amazing career with that as well. One of the things I did, again, I'm a snooper. I did find out that one, the moment that it kind of hit you over the head that you wanted to do something was you were somewhere, and it was either for a lecture or an interview, and the person that you were listening to was talking about the music therapy and military populations report that the AMTA put out. And it was that report was what ultimately what you wound up diving into and realizing, okay, I got to do something here.
Yeah, exactly. I was at a conference and at the time, there was an admiral who was the commander of the Special Operations Command, and somebody had asked him what kept him up at night, and his response was the suicide rate of his operators.
Wow.
And I realized that, you know, holy crap, this is a bigger problem than I thought. And I had experience with losing some friends to that in the military.
Sure.
And thought that it was isolated, and then I started reading the reports, and it's pretty significant. It's like 8,000 suicides a year. That's 22 a day. And if you think through it, by the time we finish this interview, that means some veteran will have killed himself.
Right.
So that's when I started looking at how can we bring music therapy into it. And I did. There's an American Music Therapy Association that's actually in the close to where I live. And I started to read some of the reports that they put out. And I said, I think it's worth a shot. If we can help one person, then it's valuable.
Yep.
So let's just give it a shot.
Yep.
And the other thing that I think is significant is that I've had a bunch of friends of mine say, hey, you know, when are you building drums next? Like, let me come and hang out. I could use some drum therapy.
Ah.
You've heard people say that, right?
Yes.
I need some music therapy. I need some drum therapy.
Yes.
Let me just come over and get dirty, build some drums, smell some sawdust. That would be good for me. And so I feel like why not apply that to some people who could use some help, right?
Perfect. That is perfect. And, you know, there is something to be said for that, you know, because, and those of you that are tuned in and wondering, you know, kind of, you know, what report we're talking about, music therapy and military populations, American Music Therapy Association was actually a report. This was a report they had put out, like, what is it, 2014, something like that.
Right.
And what was funny is in that report, you know, it talks about these plans that were in place, like for World War I and World War II, right?
Right.
You know, in order to infuse, you know, music therapy, you know, as a thing, you know, in order to treat disease and treat, you know, this, you know, the thing that, you know, the war veterans and the people serving and stuff are going through. And it even goes back further to talk about a gentleman who had this concept in like the late 1800s. And so it was one of those things that it was so awesome and it was so on target, and for some reason people had kind of drifted away from it for a moment and not realizing that something as simple as that, you know, could actually, you know, change the world, you know, and change the paradigm of what was going on and help in this particular instance. And, you know, coming from somebody, you know, who's had family serve, you know, my father did 4 tours in Vietnam and stuff, you know, so when I tell you that PTSD is a thing, and it is, it's a thing. And, you know, when I can tell you that music does such a fantastic, you know, thing, you know, with that person, you know, I ultimately believe it. And you guys with the Warrior Foundation wind up taking it even a step further, you know, and you build, just like you build your company, just like you build 1710 Percussion, you know, build on the idea of family, you know, community, you know, society, you know, and everybody in the workings together. You did the same thing, you know, and you guys were able to do the same thing with Warrior Foundation, in that not only are you trying to create some moments, you know, for those that are serving, those who have served and stuff, you know, through music and stuff, you're pulling some people in, music therapists. You know, you're also pulling in people to do lessons, you know, with these individuals. And you're just describing that moment you did about, come, you know, let me go get some sawdust. Let me go, you know, make a drum with you. You guys have also been fantastic in trying to create the moments where, you know, these guys get to come in and maybe learn how to play guitar, you know, maybe play, you know, play the piano or something. And, you know,
yeah, and the cool thing is all the drummers in 1710 and all the musicians, they've all, whatever we've got to do, you know, one of my drummers, Tom McAteer, he was the first one who said, oh, what I'm in, doesn't matter what. And so I had a small fundraiser and he shows up with, you know, with one of his buddies to help provide some backup music, and we just had people offer to give lessons, and it just feels like the right thing to do. So I think people are compelled to help.
See, that's perfect. That's perfect. You're doing everything for the right reason, Michael. Okay, you know, one, you know, for the love of drums. you loved your drum kit, and by God, you were gonna make one. You know, and that's where this all got started. But you know, you based it on such an important factor that so many people, when they get into the world of, you know, money and companies and, you know, and building products and stuff, that they so forget on what you know the values are that you build foundations from. You know what I mean? And you did that, and that was, you know, to be honest, I mean, and like I said, you know, I when talking with, you know, Rob Ewells and learning about who you were, and the more I dived into it and stuff, and it was just one of those things where I was like, oh my God, I wish there was just more people like this, you know, that cared about their company the way that you do. And it wasn't even
Rob's been great. He's been a great supporter. And every time I've interacted with him, it's been comical moments. You know, he's just a cool dude.
He is. Now, for 1710... Though you like I said, you talk about, you know, these, well, we're just, you know, we're making a couple drum kits for some people, it's no big deal. You're just kind of, it's all, you know, you're kind of like, you know, you're real subdued about it. You guys have a lot of things that are coming down the pike for the company and stuff. I mean, you also jump in and you wind up jumping in on some festivals, you know, and stuff like that, you know, and you also, you know, trying to work with all the different styles of local talent, you know, and things like that. as well as you know, providing those opportunities. Is there anything else that's coming down the pike that everybody needs to be looking for?
Well, I think some of the drummers that we're working with, we're starting to work with some new drummers who are really taking off. From a festival perspective, we just kind of came through our big festival season. But we've got some pockets around the country that have been, you know, really supportive, that we're putting some energy in Texas. And we've got a drummer named Alan Green who's really holding it down in the country scene there, who's a phenomenal pocket drummer, who's built up a big support group for us. Another guy named Joe Keck in Michigan. Michigan's got an awesome kind of pop punk music scene right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been supporting those guys. And then I recently ran into this kid who is 10 years old and is probably one of the most phenomenal drummers I've ever seen.
Would that be Joshua Grant?
Josh Grant. This kid is amazing. It's legit child prodigy. And, you know, I just wanted to make sure that there are some people that I've seen a lot of the, like, kid drummers get taken advantage of.
Yeah.
And so I felt that if we could kind of bring him into our team and I could give him some big brothers and big sisters to look out for him.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd be okay. So we're going to try to help him as much as we can. And yeah, so that's really what's going on for us.
Josh Grant, and it was so funny because when we were spreading some of that stuff on Instagram, you know, about you coming on and talking, so he picks it up and it was like 600 people jump on his page, and it was like, whoa.
I know right?
And it's like, this kid's 10. I was like, okay, who is this kid, you know? And he's, you know, he's proudly got 1710 Percussion, you know, as his label on his page and stuff. And it was, you know, and of course, you know, and his mom, you know, his lovely mother is in charge, right, making sure all that's taken care of. But it was like, I started learning
a
little bit.
I find him is through Ben Zell from P-Funk. Ben Zell sends me a text in the middle of the night and he says, I found our next drummer.
Oh, wow.
And I said, okay, you know, this is going to be interesting. And he sends me a video of him and Josh Shedden at, I don't know if it was at Guitar Center or something. And I'm like, who is this kid just blasting with Ben? And I said, well, I got to watch this again. And then he sent me a couple other videos. And I said, yeah, I'm in.
You're in.
I got it.
You're in. So
I got it.
Just here, so think about this, though, Michael. All right. As a 10-year-old, you know what I mean? Do you realize that you're on the front end of making an impact in his world of music?
I hope so.
I love that answer. Yes, good job.
I hope so. I mean, that's kind of what my brothers did for me. You know, when I was 10 years old, I mean, I wasn't any good, but that's what they did for me. They hooked me up with some drums when I was a kid, and they took me to my gigs, and someone's got to do it.
Now, as far as, you know, as family and stuff like that. Now, you've got kids of your own, right?
I do.
And are they musically inclined?
My daughter, she's got the music bug. She's a singer-songwriter. She's gigging her face off here in Maryland all the time.
Perfect.
Yeah.
If she's got some cool stuff, I need to hear. If she's got some cool stuff, I need to, because, you know, I happen to be a radio station. I'm just throwing that out there.
I know, and I put some pretty cool singer-songwriter stuff on this around the world.
Right, so. Right. I'm just throwing it out there, you know, just kind of, you know, thought maybe that'd be kind of a cool thing, you know, since we're collaborating and we're talking and stuff like that. What is it, I mean, for you, though, okay, so now you've got children, and, you know, and you talk, you know, and this is the part about the music world, right? You know, the music world the way it is now. And so when your children come to you and they're like, you know, okay, look, we're going to do this, you know, we're into this music, we're into all of this, you know, what's your first instinct? What's the first thing you want to do with them?
Well, I want to just, whatever resources they need, you got to be there to support them.
Perfect.
Right? It doesn't matter. No different than if your kid was playing sports, you know, you got to find the balance, and I struggle with it because, you know, I'm no different than any other dad who likes to coach from the sidelines.
Of course.
You just got to strike that balance of helping, and my daughter does a good job of letting me know when I've kind of overstepped a little bit.
Perfect.
So you just got to support them, and I think ultimately if they can learn a little bit from what we do in 1710 and in the foundation, and just think, okay, you know, as long as I try to do some good with this, then there's some benefit. then I feel like I've accomplished what I need to as a dad, right?
That is perfect. Good job. Good job. I'm excited to get to know you more. I'm excited for your artist. I'm excited for your company. And of course, you know, that you're on my radar now, so I'm always going to be all up in your Cheerios. and I tell you, you know, if there's anything that I can do for you here at Radio Memphis, you know, and through our shows here, you please let me know. I love everything you're stepping into, especially not only with the company and not only with the drummers and stuff, you know, because they are worth it. They're amazing. They're all talented. 1710percussion.com. You guys, you definitely need to go and check out, you know, some of the artists and stuff that, you know, you guys have got on the page, but also with the Warrior Foundation and stuff. If there's, you know, if you got some, you know, events and you've got some things that are coming up, you know, let me know. And if we can help in any way, we will.
Absolutely. We have a huge fundraiser coming in September. It'll be our big annual fundraiser. We'll need as much support as we can get. So
perfect.
Absolutely.
Perfect. If anybody's coming up to you, you know, because like I said, drummers are like the coolest. I think they're the coolest people in a band. You know, everybody thinks it's the lead singer, but I always think it's the drummer. That's just how I think. But if you've got some of these young kids and stuff and they're coming up to you and you've never met them before and you're like, hey, how can I do this? How can I get in the business? How can I be in music? You know, are you handing out some advice? Are you handing out some things for them?
I try, and I had a good opportunity a couple of years ago. I went back to my college and talked to the music majors that were coming out of, were getting ready to graduate, and I brought a couple of our drummers with us.
Nice.
And what I wanted to focus on is how hard these guys work. You know, how much time they put into what they're doing. I mean, they are... Well, first of all, you're playing the drums, right? It's not like you're digging ditches, so it's fun stuff to do.
Of course.
But they're willing to practice and play and play and play until they, you know, feel like that they're at the top of their game. And then they take everything that they do pretty seriously. And, you know, that's the biggest advice. Don't just think that you're going to bust out a couple YouTube videos and suddenly be famous, because it's just not going to happen.
No.
And if it does, it's going to die because
it
rose. So
right,
you
right.
Be willing to put the time in
and put the effort in.
Put those 10,000 hours in. So.
Perfect. I want to thank you, honey, for taking so much time out this afternoon. Like I said, I know you are a busy man, and sharing, you know, sharing some of your world with us right here on Radio Memphis. If somebody was wanting to reach out to you directly or find you, what's the best way that people can find you?
They can go right, well, 1710 Percussion on any social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm the one that runs off my social media. So if you see us reading about Pittsburgh sports teams, it's probably because that's me using my company social media. So yeah, just reach out to us online, and you know, we want to hang out. So.
Perfect. Well, I'll tell you what, I want you to enjoy your afternoon, and this won't be the last time we get to talk and catch up and stuff like that. I want to hear some more and, you know, and catch up with you and talk about some other crazy cool stuff. And again, if there's anything that you need from us, you let me know. What I am going to do is I'm going to play another Pain Method song, because I want to hear some more of that 1710 percussion in the background that everybody can enjoy. And I'll make sure that everybody catches up with you guys. All right.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I appreciate everything you're doing for the indie music scene. It's super important to have people like you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sweetheart. Well, you and I, we're not done. We're going to get in touch soon, okay?
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Kimona from 1710 Percussions, the founder, the creator, the owner, and the genius, you know, behind that entire custom product company. And I tell you, if you look and you research a little bit more, make sure you go to 1710percussion.com, and you'll be able to see all of the cool artists, you know, the cool drummers and stuff that are under that moniker right there. Along with, you'll see some of the cool people that are part of that program and part of the community that he was talking about. And this is, you know, this is a very, very, very special. A very special outfit, you know, for what they do. And I love the fact that not only do they make some amazing products and they actually make, you know, make everybody's world go round when you're talking about a drummer, but they also wind up giving back to the community and giving back to service and giving back to the idea of humanity and all of this other stuff. And this is the mark of a great, great, fantastic company and stuff. And this is one that you're going to want to keep up with, I promise you. And besides, the drums sound fantastic, and I'm getting ready to prove it to you right now, because we got got some more Pain Method. It is called Middleman, right here only on Radio Memphis.
The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.